and we got him. At @Joe_fan. You read him on 49ers.com. Joe, how are we doing this evening?
Oh, come on. Last place in the power rankings. I can own it. No big deal. You don't have to come on now.
Don't worry. No one's listening to his podcast anyway, so you don't even have to worry about it. This is interesting. When you start getting ready for this game, and it's only after 1 week, but talking about what this game means to both these franchises, because somebody's walking out of Levi Stadium 0-2. And when you're 0-2, the numbers and the playoffs and the percentages are not in your corner.
100%. You're absolutely right. And I think that's what makes Detroit such a dangerous team. You know, it's so easy to look at what happened in week one against the New York Jets on Monday Night Football and think, well, you know, this is a team the 49ers should handle. But, you know, statistics have shown, I think they've shown these to the team as well, of, you know, traditionally teams that lose by 20-plus in week one, they rebound in week two and play much better. You know, especially like you said, you know, you can't go 0-2. It's not an option, right? And that's how these teams approach these games. And so, you know, I think the 49ers are certainly not taking it lightly. I think they look at that game for Detroit against the Jets that was, what, 17-17 before a pick six punt return and then another touchdown. So, you know, got out of hand really quickly, but it's going to be a great game on Sunday, I'm sure. And like you said, it means a lot to both teams.
You know, Joe, without all the fluff of they're playing Minnesota, they're on the road, the guards are injured, Jimmy just has to play better. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, we gave him $130 million, and there was a lot of throws, especially the one to Kittle in the red zone, not the one over the top that Kittle dropped, but that he's just got to make those throws. Wouldn't you agree Jimmy needs to play better this weekend?
He totally has to play better. And I think you look at, there were plenty of throws that he missed. I think, you know, of the three picks, I think you look at one wasn't his fault, and then the other two probably were. You know, the one that he threw that Xavier Rhodes got, Dante Pettis beat him on that in cut. He just overshot him a little bit. And then, yeah, the, you know, the one glaring miss is to Kittle in the end zone and the red zone. When you really needed, you know, a touchdown there, they got points and made it a one score game, but you needed a touchdown there. And so, yeah, I think the thing you got to remember is this guy's only started 8 games now, so there's going to be growing pains. So I think what you like about him, if you're going to take a silver lining, is that it's a guy who's not afraid to make the big mistake because he wants to make the big play that will help his team win a game, right? You'd rather have that than a guy who's gun-shy and is going to take a sack or throw the ball out of bounds rather than trying to make a throw. At the same time, if he's going to make a pick, make an interception, you try to learn from it, but again, it doesn't make you gun-shy later in the game. You don't become so risk-averse that it paralyzes you and your team trying to win a game, and you rely on everybody else to do it for you. So, yes, I completely agree he's got to play better, but I think there's belief that he's made up of the right stuff in order to, you know, take those next steps.
The number one beat writer for the San Francisco 49ers, Joe Fan, in the power rankings, joins us here on the Chris Townsend Show. All right, so Jimmy G, I like how you just put that, because everybody crowned him. I mean, it's like this guy's the next greatest quarterback of all time, and we forget that, okay, now everybody's truly preparing for him. Now these games mean something. He's still young. He's still green. He hasn't started a lot of games. We love to crown people so – I'm going Denny Green here. We like to crown people so early, but it's like, you know, this. It's hard to win in this league.
It is hard to win in this league, and the guys on the other side of the football get paid quite a bit of money as well. I'll use that cliche that everyone in the NFL loves to use, right? The other team's getting paid too. And so, yeah, I mean, there's going to be growing pains, I think, and that's why Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch were, you know, they were on the, you know, let's pump the brakes on the Jimmy G hype until, you know, he's able to get some starts under him and really develop as a quarterback, because up until really this week, he hasn't gone through adversity. He hadn't failed yet. He was undefeated, as everyone in the world knows, right? Now he almost, you know, get that out of the way. You've got your loss out of the way. You're kind of playing with house money a little bit. No one's knocking you too much for, you know, a couple picks against a tough Minnesota defense on the road. And so, okay, how do you respond? So it goes back to your initial question of, you know, beyond just the 49ers needing a win so they don't go 0-2 before two straight road games against the Kansas City Chiefs and the Los Angeles Chargers, but does Jimmy look the part? Does it look like he's learned from mistakes? and is taking a step forward.
You know, I look at Sunday's game against Minnesota, and I say, wow, McGlinchey got to start at right tackle. That's your number one pick. Dante Pettis catches a touchdown. Can't remember the last time a 49er wide receiver played in his first game and then caught a touchdown. I mean, Jerry Rice, fifth game, Crabtree didn't even suit up. And then Fred Warner. How important was it for this draft class to go out, hit the ground running, and be impactful from day one?
It's huge, and I think John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan pride themselves in, you know, Kyle's favorite phrase. He's got a couple of them, but it's that the moment's not too big for them. The stage isn't too big for them, and Fred Warner is about as mature as they come. Mike McGlinchey, cut from a very similar cloth. Dante Pettis, the guy whose game translates so well to the NFL, just in terms of, just he's a tactician, man. He's got great athleticism, but he's not a Tyreek Hill athlete, but he's just good enough athlete and so technical and so good with his routes that he can be successful on any level. And so those reps are invaluable. You get it out of the way. You go through your lumps. None of those guys had perfect games, but that experience will be invaluable. Now you get to come home in front of your home fans. All three of those guys, obviously Fred Warner and Mike McGlinchey, both starting and will probably be starters for their entire career as long as they're with the 49ers, obviously barring injuries. But you look at Dante Pettis, a guy, if Marquise Goodwin can't go, Dante Pettis is looking at a whole bunch of targets on Sunday against the Detroit Lions. He could have another big game. And so, thrown right into the fire, but there's no reason why that can't be the case, why it shouldn't be the case.
Kyle Shanahan has been groomed to do this job from a long, long time, ever since his dad sent him to Texas to learn there. So what's he like now that he's been around for a while? And by the way, he sent him there to be under Mac Brown. What's he like on an everyday basis? What have you learned? What do we know about Kyle Shanahan as a head coach?
What I can appreciate with Kyle Shanahan is that he doesn't really give you coach speak. And granted, he's got a little bit of it because he talks to the media so much that you're just going to fall into some of the, you know, pitfall cliches that everyone falls into. But I think there's such a paranoia around the NFL specifically, in all sports, but really the NFL, where you get asked a question and your first response is, your first gut reaction is, how do I avoid the question? How do I answer the question without answering the question? And you ask Kyle Shanahan a question and his first, reaction is, I'm going to answer the question. And then you have, these great moments where there's times where, competitive advantage-wise, it doesn't behoove him to answer the question. So he will just tell you honestly, hey, you know what? I'm not trying to be a jerk. I know you guys remember that moment from the press conference last year.
Yes, that was awesome.
He used a different word. And it was this incredible moment, like, I want to, but I shouldn't because it doesn't do us any good. You'd almost rather hear that. Like, okay, cool. I respect that. Like, you don't necessarily owe reporters everything. But when you get asked a good question, you're willing to give a good and insightful response. And there's been a couple times where, you look at the Richard Sherman thing during training camp with Marquise Goodwin. He could have easily fired at reporters being, you guys post this stuff on social media and it blows up and it comes back on us and this is why you guys shouldn't do that. No, he didn't go that route. He went to, I'm going to inform you, I'm going to teach you of why this is important and why I view what Richard Sherman did as a positive and why if I was a player, I would have given Marquise Goodwin 20 yards of cushion and I wouldn't have ended up on Twitter in a trending video, but I credit this guy for going after it in his first rep. So I just think Kyle Shanahan's incredibly informative. I don't think you can watch many head coaches in their press conferences and say, man, that guy delivers more, gives you more than what Kyle Shanahan gives you.
All right, Joe, I'm shameless. I know it's a bobblehead giveaway this weekend. I need one. Jimmy Garoppolo sent to Butcher Boy over here to 95.7 The Game. And is this the biggest Levi's Stadium game to date? Honestly, I mean, the place has taken a lot of criticism from the fans, from the media. Is the place going to be rocking this weekend? They play Detroit, huge game, biggest home opener I can remember since the Harbaugh era. Are you excited, and do you think this is going to be the biggest Levi's game to date?
I think outside of the inaugural game, I think that's until you host a playoff game or a game late in the season that has playoff implications, right? We know when the Seahawks are coming to town late in the year, if there are playoff implications at stake, then that, that place is going to be rocking. It would be a bigger game than week two against the Detroit Lions. But certainly I think expectations and hope are at a different level than they have been in quite some time. And, I think there's still some cautious optimism. I don't think everyone's jumping on board and diving in the deep end immediately, and nor should they, right? The team, for all intents and purposes, hasn't done anything yet. Five games at the end of the season, when your season's already over only means so much. But I do expect Levi's to be rocking on Sunday. I hope Levi's will be rocking on Sunday. I mean, it should be a really exciting game. I think just look at what happened in week one. I would say the 49ers played a C-plus game at best, and they lost by one score to a team that has Super Bowl or bust expectations. And so, you know, in years past, that game would have been a boat race, 30-point game, the second Alfred Morris fumbles that ball on the goal line. But you see some resiliency there. I think that should be exciting. And again, it's hard to draw. There are no moral victories, but you know, I think this team is still, it's way too soon to hit the panic button.
All right. I'm going to put everybody in a room. I'm going to put Joe Fan. I'm going to put Matthew Burrows. I'm going to put Matt Maiocco, Cam Emmon, Chris Biederman, Kevin Lynch. I'm going to put you guys all in one room. There's only one job outside that door to cover the 49ers. Who makes it out of that room?
Hey, that's my guy, Matt Maiocco, an institution of 49ers football. That guy's been around longer than I've been alive. And yes, that is a joke about his age, and I'm happily making that joke. But, I mean, honestly, you can't go wrong. A lot of great dudes in that room. But I've told Matt this to his face, and I'll say it on the air to whoever's listening to you guys right now. Matt Maiocco is an institution of 49ers football. I think it's certainly, I mean, he's coming up on 25 years covering this team, which is just an incredible testament to him.
I will challenge Matt Maiocco any day. Any day. You line this up. Me versus him, 49er trivia. Set it up right now. Me versus Matt Maiocco, the insider. I want it. I want a piece of him. I want a Jimmy G bobblehead.
I'm putting my money on Maiocco. Thank you, Joe. Thank you very much. We'll have you on again.
Love you,
soon.
Joe. I love Matt.
I appreciate you, fellas. Thank you.
Yeah, they're all, I mean, years ago, remember George Chung?
Oh, come on. Ira Miller? Glenn Dickey?
No, George Chung was on the staff. He did martial arts, and then he did a lot of the 49er media stuff. I used to do a TV show with Maiocco and Kevin Lynch years
ago. Is Lynchy still around?
Yeah, Lynchy's still around.
Oh, okay. I haven't heard from him this
year. Cam Inman's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, Cam Inman's awesome. I give
Matthew
it.
Matthew Burrows is great. Yep. My good friend Chris Biederman now has the job with the Sacramento Bee. I think
David Lombardi.
The guys that we have, and Lombardi's kind of doing everything now.
I love Lombardi. I'm a big fan of his.
So he's a Stanford guy.
You know I like that.
So I look across the bay. The beat writers that we have for both the Niners and the Raiders are real solid.
Stacked.
Real solid.
Yep. Grant Cohn does a good job, too. I do. I'm a big Grant Cohn fan. Straight up. I'm telling you, Townie. That's my guy.
That's your guy?
Yeah. Yep. He actually says something. He's got guts. I like him.
All right. Earlier today, I recorded an interview with Bob Nightingale from the USA Today. Can we get into some baseball, please?
Yes.
It's still baseball season. Next on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the Chris Townsend Show on 95.7 The Game.
You know he's one of my favorite. Nobody better covering the game of baseball than Bob Nightingale for the USA Today. Bob, I got to tell you, we're all giddy right now. 32 games over 500 for the A's, going for the sweep today of the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, it's amazing. Now you're talking about, before it was like, oh, hopefully they make the playoffs. Now it's like, hey, they're going to catch the Yankees. They're going to play that wild card game in Oakland at the worst. And they're still, you know, with that schedule, there's no reason why they can't just keep almost run the table here and still have a shot, you know, to win the AL West title. And it'd be like billion to one odds before the season started that they'd win the West of the Houston Astros.
Yeah, it's crazy. The magical date is June 16th. On June 16th, the A's beat the Angels in 11. They were 35-36. Since that time, they've had the best record in baseball. What? We know what people are saying here. What are people nationally saying about the A's?
Just kind of scratching their head, you know, and people saying, did you see this? Or was this going to, you know, anybody see this coming? And everybody says, no. I mean, even the rival teams that saw the A's all spring thought they'd be a better team, you know, maybe 81 to 85 win team, but nothing like this. Not just, you know, dominating the action, particularly with all the starting pitcher injuries they've had, you know, just winning with a bullpen and stuff like that. know, like it's not sustainable over, you know, over years of time, but certainly for one season, it's nuts.
Yeah, and now they've joined the party with the opener. Obviously, the Rays started it with Sergio Romo, and they've dominated with it. What do you think about this whole opener deal?
Well, it's almost a survival thing. I mean, you don't do it when you have a good rotation. I mean, like if you have a healthy rotation, you don't mess around with openers. I mean, you do it when you're short. I mean, like the Houston Astros, can you imagine having an opener with guys like that and the Boston Red Sox rotation? You don't. But when you have all the injuries the A's do, it, you know, you just can't do it out of survival. You know, the damage, of course, is the long-run damage is that later on it catches up with you. You know, like those guys may not be the same a year from now or 2 years from now just because, you know, it puts so much stress on that bullpen. Fine for a season, but you just can't do it over a long period of time.
The A's yesterday hit their 200th home run. They lead all of baseball in road home runs, road runs scored, and they now, as a pitching staff, have the best ERA in the second half. I'm thinking if I'm anybody, I don't want to see this team in the postseason. Would you agree?
Yeah, particularly a wild card game in a short series. I think if it, you know, the longer series, then it kind of catches up with the A's. A little bit like the Dodgers last year. Remember, they were kind of doing a bunch of bullpen stuff in the World Series. And when they played three straight days, it caught up with them. So it's much easier to, you know, in a wild card game, there's no way. I don't care if you're the Astros or the Red Sox. You don't want to face the A's in one game. I think the Yankees are in deep trouble against the A's. And I think the A's would be the favorites. You know, like I said, I think this game's going to be played in Oakland. Short series of, you know, they win that game, go best of five. Obviously, be huge underdogs. But you never know. With the bullpenning and stuff, it could work in short series. But I think as October goes on, it's very tough to sustain.
How crazy is that to think that the A's could be hosting the Yankees and be the favorite? 2 months ago, you would have never said something like that.
No, it'd always be fitting, right? I mean, you know, you hate to use the word choke, but all those years when the A's were so great and lost the Yankees in the first round, you know, they were just, you know, A's are a better team. It's almost like they choked at inopportunities, whether it's, you know, a Jeremy Giambi not sliding or the, you know, the Jeter play, just, you know, up 0-2 in, you know, in New York and coming back home and losing. So it'd almost be apropos for the A's to finally get revenge on the Yankees and after all those heartbreaking losses.
No doubt this is the finest job of Bob Melvin's career. Just talk about all the juggling he's had to do and where he has this team.
Yeah, I mean, he should win the Manager of the Year award. He should win going away. I know Alex Cora has won 100 games so far. He'll probably, you know, finish with 110 or so. But he took over a two-time division champion. You know, this team was a mess. And everybody in baseball knows how good Bob Melvin is. And obviously the A's do too, or else they will let, you know, the Yankees interview him. He probably would have had that job. But this guy's one of the best managers in the game, as well liked as any manager in the game among his peers. It's pretty cool to see that now people are recognizing, you know, how great of a manager he is and the success he's having.
Let's switch over to the other side of the bay. The Giants with their loss yesterday. If you go back to 2016 All-Star break, so that's not a small sample size. That's basically 2.5 years. This Giants team is now 56 games under 500. They've got older players. They got almost $500 million guaranteed to certain players for the next few years. What are the Giants going to do?
Well, yeah, they have to keep going for it. I mean, they don't have a team where you can just say, okay, we're going to, you know, nuke this team and give away players for prospects. You know, they don't have those type of players. Yeah, they hung in there for a while, but, you know, even in spring training, everybody said if they have injuries, you know, they're done because they're too thin. And they are. And they're going to have a high draft pick again, you know, next summer. I think what they do is just go get that big bat, whether it's a Bryce Harper or if you're going to get Harper, you know, a couple of bats just to take the pressure off. I don't see anybody being traded except, you know, Brandon Belt. I think he could easily be moved. but certainly not Baumgartner or anything else. I think they got to see what happens next year. At least making that a run for it the first half. And if they're, they're out of the race by next July, then see if there's time Baumgartner to extension or move them.
You know, we were looking at salaries, and speaking of Baumgartner, we looked at the top six salaries this year in baseball. Four are starting pitchers. And it just seems like, and if you take all their, if you take all, it's Kershaw, Greinke, Arrieta, and David Price. If you take all their records in the postseason, they're under 500. I start looking at paying guys in their 30s. Would you move Madison Baumgartner for prospects while he still is a hot name? Or would you sign him long term? And that's taking him well into his 30s.
I would take, I would just pick up the option, you know, and they, not trade him at all and see if you're in the race next July. If you're out of the race, then go ahead and trade him. You know, get, you know, he's got that track record for great Octobers and everything else. You know, and, you know, Baumgartner's not that same guy. He's not the guy that just, you know, blows away the opposition. Still a very good pitcher. Kind of reminds you of Zach Greinke. Like, you know, lost that basketball a little bit, but knows how to pitch. Same with Baumgartner. You know, you're not going to get a, you're not going to get a ton for Baumgartner. You know, you look at Chris Sale. Chris Sale's just probably still the best pitcher in baseball. You know, it's only one of the top two pitchers in baseball. And they made the big trade with Boston. Well, those guys, those prospects haven't done anything. So you got to be careful. A lot of these prospects just don't work out.
Yeah, we got some good races going on right now. The Brewers are making it really interesting in the Central with the Cubs going today against the Nationals. Who do you like in that division?
I mean, I still like the Cubs. The Cubs have the most talent by far, but it's fun to see what the Brewers are doing. You know, I thought they should have done more at the trade deadline, getting, you know, as far as getting starting pitchers, you know, like a Gio Gonzalez, get more guys like that than just keep adding position players. But they got that bullpen too, dangerous bullpen. Probably the back end. They may have the best, you know, back end bullpen of anybody in baseball. So I still think the Cubs win that division. I like the Rockies, and I think the Rockies will knock off the Dodgers. And of course, you know, the Braves sewed everything up on their West Coast trip to Arizona and San Francisco. But the National League is so wide open. If the Oakland A's were in the National League, I think the A's would be in the World Series.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's amazing how strong the American League is. So you think the Rockies are going to win the West?
I do. I wouldn't have said that 3 or 4 days ago. You know, 3 or 4 days ago is the first time I really said, you know what, they're going to do it. Dodgers have a tough schedule here. Diamondbacks are done with that bullpen. Yeah, I think the Rockies will do it, which would be a cool story. And they never won. They've been in the playoffs four times, but they've never won the division.
And that means you'd be looking at the Dodgers being in that one game wild card, but they are still very, you know, they're still very dangerous. And probably since you think the Cubs are going to win, that would probably be, Cardinals are up there too, but that could be like maybe a Brewers Dodgers one game for it all. Well, one game to get in the postseason.
Yeah. It very easily could be. Cardinals have a really tough schedule. And you know, I mean, it's very possible that MLB executives and the Fox TV executives are jumping off buildings if we if the Dodgers, the Yankees, and the Cubs are all out by the first week of October, that they all lose their wild card games or somehow don't make it. The Brewers are dangerous. I mean, they we could easily have a Brewers Rockies NLCS.
Well, there's only 16 games left, and they're all going to be big. Bob, we always appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you soon once we get into the postseason.
All right, look forward to it. Thanks, Chris.
Bob Nightingale from the USA Today. Well, I'll tell you what, Butcher. It's almost cruel, this wild card game. You think of when they start. Pitchers and catchers report, spring training, season starts, months of travel all over the country, 162 games, and it all comes down to one game.
Oh, it's brutal.
Right? Now, so, like, Baumgartner got you out of it, but back in the day against the Cubs, you guys lost.
1998, Sammy Sosa hit a jack early in that game, and it was over.
Mark Gardner was your starter.
Oh, very good knowledge. Number 26.
Yeah. So, and then I can tell you the way 2014 ended that night, because I was doing the morning show then, mm-hmm. I couldn't sleep. And I had, and I think I maybe got a couple hours, took a sleeping pill. I got a couple hours. Next thing you know, you're up and I'm driving into San Francisco and it's 4:30 in the morning and I'm like, I was delirious, but
okay,
I was.
Okay, it's a hell of a drug.
Whoa! Bro, you gotta go vape.
Whoa!
What? Bro, you gotta go vape. You gotta go vape. I was so upset I couldn't sleep. It was awful.
You know what, Townie? I have a theory that they should do with the playoffs, and especially the wild card. This is what I feel like, okay, so since you have two slots, right, and I don't want to get too crazy on this, but this is something I've thought about for a long time. You play 162 games, all right, and let's say there is a couple of game discrepancy between the, it doesn't matter, even if there isn't, between, you know, the number one seed and the number two seed. Don't you think that the regular season should be weighted a little more, just a little more? And how I would do it is, if you're the number two seed, you have to win two games on the road at the number one seed's place, and then hop on a plane and instantly go play three straight games in somebody else's ballpark. Like, I feel like just winning that one game, it's a roll of the dice, and then boom, you're in, and these other teams that won the division, there really isn't that big of an incentive difference. Am I overrating that?
I would do, this is what, you want to talk about stuff that bothers you?
Mm-hmm.
This bothers me. September and then now the postseason. The whole, let's call everybody up.
40 guys on the roster.
Drives me nuts. That's not baseball.
Yeah, pinch run every inning.
And then I have the schedule for the A's. If the A's were to go all the way to the World Series, I can tell you each date when the ALDS is, ALLCS, all the way to the World Series, I can tell you. So they've sent that schedule out to us.
Wow, they already have that.
Oh, you already have it. Yeah, yeah. The wild card game's the third. Okay, baseball's about series. I wish the wild card was a three-game series. If someone wins the first two, it's done.
I agree.
But if it's a three-game series, someone's got to win it.
I agree with that.
We have gotten away. We play in a sport where there's no days off, and all of a sudden, when we decide our title, all of a sudden now, we have days off.
Great point.
It's a sport that doesn't have days off. They don't have days off.
Such a great point.
You want to look at the schedule? I'll bring up the damn schedule right now. There's no days off.
Well, and every game that you play is within a series. There's even two-game sets. Like, there's nothing below a two-game set in Major League Baseball during the regular season, right? You're not just going to go to Toronto for one game. Like, sometimes you have regional two-game sets. Like, sometimes you'll see the A's and Giants play a two-game set, and then later on they'll play another one, or maybe the Giants in Colorado. So, yeah, at least a two- or three-game set amongst the wild card winners. Like, I don't understand why they haven't proposed that yet. And it would just be more money, don't you think?
The A's just got off playing 20 games in a row.
Wow.
Because you know what would happen if you do that? Then you would really find the real World Series champion.
Depth.
Because it tests your depth. There is no Randy Johnson, Madison Bumgarner coming out of the bullpen in Game 7. If you played, you should have to play every day. I don't care about the TV. You should have to, however the format you want to do it, you get on the plane and you don't get a day off. Because normally you don't get a day. You play three or, you know. You should, how, if you want to do 2-2-1-1-1, they should all be on the, they should be 7 days scheduled out and you fly back and forth. These guys are on charters. I don't care about the media.
What's the justification for it? The days off.
The television and media getting from one city to another.
Who cares?
Yeah, we don't care now. Hey, the A's, they just played in Baltimore tonight and they're flying right now to Tampa Bay. Don't care now.
Tony, do you know how many of my clients fly into San Francisco for the day?
Oh!
It happens all the time. I have people hopping off a plane at 8:30. I swoop them up around 9 o'clock at the domestic arrivals terminal, and then we go out, we do a sales day, and then I drop them back off at 4:30, 5 o'clock, and they fly out to wherever they're coming from. All the time, Tony. All the time.
Do you know how many people fly into San Jose?
Oh, yes.
Silicon Valley every day. They fly in and out every day.
Just for a meeting.
It's every day, bro.
No, you didn't go there.
It's every day, bro.
Yeah, I did.
It's every day, bro.
It's 10:36. I can do it.
It's every day, bro.
Yeah, but then that, you would see who the real champion is.
Who's
got the depth? Who's got the best roster? Who has the best overall players? And no hairy high school starters coming out, you know? I mean, as much as everybody's like, oh, man, Randy Johnson and Madison Bumgarner. That's not real baseball.
Dude, the Giants recorded 6 combined outs in game 6 and 7 from their starters. 6 combines out, and they won the
World
Series.
That's not real.
I agree. I totally agree.
This is you've changed that. You've twerked the schedule. This is my love, right? I love baseball.
Me too.
But the problem is, it's like you totally trick out your postseason, and what other sport do they not play like they do the regular season?
NBA, you play 1-game sets against everyone. There's back-to-backs, things like that. And then all of a sudden, boom, 7-game series.
Oh, yeah, the NBA, you're right. Yeah,
That's it.
The days off for the NBA playoffs are crazy.
It's out of control.
That's
right?
Like baseball. It's bad. It's like the NFL. No, the NFL, you may get a bye if you earned it, but you're playing the next week, then the week after that, the week after that, and you'll get 2 weeks for the Super Bowl. That's like a bye week, but you still play the sport. By the way, for the Super Bowl, are you allowed to add like 15 guys to the roster?
75-man roster.
I mean, baseball, the whole September thing drives me nuts. And the postseason, the way we do the postseason with all the days off.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, so then you're not getting the true who really is the best team.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's why I think the A's are set up for it, because you can use the hell out of your bullpen and win the World Series. I mean, the Kansas City Royals showed us that.
Yeah. Well, that's, I think, one of the beauties, and that's why I had suggested a 2-game set. So basically, let's say you're the number one seed. You only have to win once, and you knock out the number two seed. If you're the number two seed, you have to win 2 road games, you know, in someone else. It'd be like a double elimination. So it gives you a little extra incentive to go after not just the home game, but, you know, finish the season out. And then that team or either one of those teams hops right onto a plane the very next day. They got to play in Boston or wherever, you know.
Now, let's just do this. If you're the number one wild card, you host a 3-game set.
All three games. I love
that. You know what? You're the second wild card. You didn't earn it.
Exactly.
You got to go in there and beat them 2 out of 3.
Exactly. Totally agree. I love that.
Why the hell does everybody have to get a trophy?
Well, you know what that is. That's this.
All you millennials.
I mean, it's the parents, too.
Everybody's got to get a trophy.
So, are you preemptively throwing a fit over, and I'm not saying you're throwing a fit, but I'm saying you're already working out scenarios how you can feel that this Yankee-A's 1-game scenario, one of these fan bases, and if it's the Yankees, okay, like we saw with the Lakers, they have a big enough fan base and pull within the league to change the playoff setting. Remember years back when the Lakers were in a 5-game set with, I think it was Sacramento, and they were like, wait a minute, we're gonna change the first round to 7-game series. Do you remember that?
Yeah, hey, the Yankees carry a lot of weight.
So if they go down, do you really
Well, they've already gone down. Remember they lost that 1 game to Houston, Dallas Keuchel.
That's right.
So they've lost it. I mean, it's we're already starting the season earlier because there's a little more breaks, but now the problem with that is weather. It's one thing to do it in the NBA, but
yeah.
In baseball, we're starting March now, and then all of a sudden you're having all these weather problems. But just give me a 3-game set, all right? So if let's say the A's overtake the Yankees, Yankees have to come here, 3-game set. Whoever wins 2 games moves on. The other guy goes home. At least you do it somewhat like you do in the regular season. Baseball, the 1 game is a hit. People like it. It gets ratings, but it's not an indicator of who really is the best team.
Agreed.
Well, do we still have our open for Jen and Burlingame? It doesn't work. Oh, man. We're slipping. Lucas, you're slipping.
You know why? You know why he's slipping?
All you millennials.
Because that's what he is.
Oh, but he's from Marin, and he's so cute, and his hair. And By the way,
got him.
Jen in Burlingame, Butcher, is our resident hockey expert. She knows more hockey than anybody, and she is here to talk about the big move for the San Jose Sharks today. It has been a while since you've been on the program. How are you?
Well, apparently I'm broken.
What do you mean you're broken?
My button is broken.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, you know what? We're slipping. I mean, it's just a reality. We are slipping. I want you to break down the big trade today for the San Jose Sharks. Peter DeBoer is talking about the aspirations for the San Jose Sharks this year is lifting Lord Stanley's Cup.
Definitely. And for those who participate in Tony's little bookie shop, the odds have gone from 20-1 to 10-1 for the Sharks to win the Stanley Cup since this trade.
Does Townie's butcher shop? Does Townie's shop, the betting shop, does it pay out? I'm just curious.
It pays out in love, and that's way more.
Actually, yeah, Butcher, you're going to be paying out to Townie's bookie shop.
Yes, I am.
You're one of the few. So, tell me how this trade now changes everything for the San Jose Sharks.
Well, this trade is just huge. When you think about it, you now have Brent Burns, Marc-Andre Vlasic, and Erik Karlsson. At any point in the game, there will most likely be one of those players on the ice at any given time, at any game.
Hey, you know, Jen, I don't know anything about hockey. And so I'm going to have Cole come on because he wants to ask you a very specific question. Cole, give her the question that you want to ask. I know nothing. I'm ignorant to hockey.
That's okay. There are no non-hockey fans. There are just fans who are waiting to embrace hockey.
So they got Logan Couture, they got Brent Burns, and now they got this guy. Is he Chris Pronger? I mean, is he more of an offensive? I heard he's a great defensive player. What? Explain to me how he's going to help the Sharks.
So Chris Pronger is more of like a down and dirty power kind of guy. And Karlsson, he's smaller. He's definitely going to help out on scoring. He's an offensive defenseman. Okay, so he's more in the mold of like a Brent Burns. He's actually finished fourth in scoring in the NHL in 2015-2016 season, which tied with Joe Thornton. He's won the Norris twice, once in 2012 and once in 2015. He's also been a finalist two other times in 2016 and 2017. In that year that he lost to Brent Burns. So you're looking at an incredibly gifted player. He's a generational type player. I mean, he's the second Swede to have won the Norris Trophy, which is given to the top defenseman in the league. And the only other person who's Swedish born who's won it is Niklas Lidström, who's an all-time great. You should Google him. He's amazing. And he's also, like, very young. He's 28. And when he won his first Norris Trophy, he was only 23. And he was the third player who was under... I'm sorry, I forget how old he was. But when he won it, he was the third player under 23 to win it with Bobby Orr and Denny Potvin.
So how do you think these rotations are going to work themselves out, Jen? I mean, you clearly know way more than Brody Brazil, so I need to know.
No. He is definitely your insider. He is like...
He's kind of a fanboy. But just come on, how do you think these rotations are going to circle themselves up?
Get off my guy, Brody. I love Brody.
Oh, yeah, I bet he's got a ButcherBoyFanClub.com org going right now.
Well, I mean, like I said, you're going to find... I mean, and Brent Burns and... Erik Karlsson, both of them are two of the last five Norris Trophy winners. So you're going to see great caliber defense. And I think this will only make Marc-Andre Vlasic better. I think this is going to be an amazing defensive team to watch. And then when it's backstop with Jones, and now you've got, you know, Kane was a great energy that was injected into the offense. You're going to see a lot of different things going on, but I think it's going to be high energy. You're going to see more scoring. You're going to have better defense. This is why the odds have changed so much for the Sharks. And, you know, Wilson is going to be GM of the year, I am sure.
Whoa.
And when you think about what he's done, he has gotten, through his tenure and looking at this current roster, he has obtained Joe Thornton, Brent Burns, Evander Kane, and by the way, you only, what, pretty much essentially gave up a first-round pick in the 2019 draft? I mean, come on. Martin Jones, Jonas Donskoy, and Brendan Dillon. And then on the drafting side, he's gotten Joe Pavelski, Logan Couture, Tomas Hertl, Vlasic, and Justin Braun. So these kind of players are what he has put together in his tenure. And yes, you've lost, I mean, you can count a number of players you've lost, and maybe also players who wasn't the best deal. But looking at this roster right now, it's hard to say that he's done a bad job. And he has also nailed down Burns, Vlasic, Jones, Couture, Kane, and Hertl through 2021-22. So you're looking at a team that has a window that is open for the Stanley Cup. And the time is right now.
You just blew my mind.
Hey, I'm telling you right now. Jen and Burling game is on it. She's our hockey expert right here on the Chris Townsend Show. By the way, the Norris Trophy Butcher Boys for the top defensive player, by the way, if you didn't know that.
No, I didn't. Remember, I grew up in San Francisco. I've seen snow one time in my life in Tahoe.
I grew up in California. My whole life.
The Sharks played in San Francisco at the Cow Palace.
So did the Shamrocks and the Spiders. I went out to go see the Spiders once.
All right, so let's end on this. You know, Jen, there's been other seasons where the Sharks were the darling. I've had Barry Melrose on many times, and he has predicted the Sharks to win the Cup. This is not the first time that they were the darling of the NHL. Is this, though, the year they're not going to gag and they can bring it home?
This is the year for them because They have such an amazing culmination of people going on. You've got some of them at their prime right now, looking at Carlson, looking at Couture, looking at Pavelski. You've got all these guys, and looking at Jones. Don't forget, I love, 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 love Jones. And once you've got an amazing goaltender, you're good to go.
You are the best. I can't wait. Hockey, I think the first game, the first preseason game is October 3rd, and we'll be having you on throughout the hockey season. Love you. We'll talk to you soon. Jen in Burlingame.
Phenomenal.
Oh, my God. I met her in Burlingame.
Uh-huh.
We were doing a football watch party.
Okay.
And she came up and just started spitting knowledge on hockey. And I was like, wow, I got to have you on the air. So, and I've had her on for years. I mean, literally knows the entire league. Like a fantasy football player. But see, the thing with fantasy football is that you only really know the offensive guys. She's a hockey freak.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's just, like I said, man, I don't got any hockey knowledge. So, Tony, I'm leaning on you, you know, and your San Jose roots, all your connections. I'm hoping
you
to get
you got to come down. I know.
Get me a jersey, Butcher Boy on the back. You know, me and you go rock Santana Row, maybe a little San Pedro Square, right?
Oh, San Pedro Square is my joint.
Is it?
Oh, I love it. You kidding me? And then you walk down to the arena from there.
So what, I just drive?
I mean, literally, I can, I mean, I'm not that far. And where I live in Willow Glen, I'm not far from the arena.
So what, do you got the private car that gives you the ride down there?
Uber, baby.
Uber? Are we corporately sponsored with Uber? Are you expensing that?
No, I'll just pay for it. Don't worry about it.
I know. I took Uber today.
Oh, my God. Uber, I was in Bellevue. I'm like, why the hell are we staying in Bellevue?
Yeah, why are you in Bellevue?
Yeah, I don't hear it. Well, because I think they don't want anybody to get in trouble. So then I'm like, so we're not even staying in Miami. We're staying in Fort Lauderdale. I'm like, well, I'm going to go to Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the Raider partner? Are you guys at the Marriott, the Hyatt? Does it change? Like, how
it
does that
changes work? Every city's different.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's like the minute we got done with Gruden in Seattle, I went right up to my room, put the bags down, took the suit off, called Uber, and I'm on my way to Seattle.
Did you guys get stuck in the airport? Because I got stuck in Washington when I flew up there a few weeks ago because of the air quality, because of all the fires and everything.
It's a charter.
Oh, excuse me.
No.
Excuse me, family money.
It's not my family money. You arrive at the plane. I mean, the plane arrives, and there's like 6-7 buses. We get on the bus. Everywhere we go, we have a police escort.
Ooh.
A police escort through L.A. was amazing.
See, you need to post that on your Twitter, like your little bow wow. You know,
Boeing. So like the really cool thing is like when you walk on the plane, they've got your name where your seat is. Ooh, like all the Raiders stuff.
That's cool.
And I asked my boss, I'm like, can I tweet this out? He goes, yeah, probably not.
And they wouldn't let you?
Just not a great idea. So I went, okay. I'm the new guy. I'm happy to be there, right?
It's like me. So what about Gruden? Like, break down the Gruden stuff, man. Like, you cheesing up to him? Your arm around him yet?
He's a really cool guy.
You got a celly?
And no, not yet. But, I mean, very personable. And we talked before. So we did Silver and Black today. We taped it. And, you know, he's a super cool guy. I love him.
I love that.
Pulling for him.
I know.
I mean, he really is a, I mean, like, and everybody around there, there's something about him, man. He's got this energy. He's got this. And that's why you want to be like, you know, you got to realize, if I told you, let's just take Gruden out of it and let's take the Raiders out of it. Let's just take this generic football team, right? And you're going to basically remake the entire roster. And you're going to have only 10 guys from the GM's draft left. You only have 10. That's it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The guys that have all been here trying to win for you are now all gone. You've remade it. You got all these new guys. And I didn't say who the team was. Would you think they were gonna come out hell on wheels?
No, not at all.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But because it's Gruden and he got the big contract, there's these expectations. But the reality is every first year head coach this year starts at 0-7.
Hey, you're on to something there.
Right? It's tough to win. Like even look, I believe in, I like Kyle Shanahan. I think, but look, Kyle comes out.
He was 0-9. 0-9, Townie.
They lose on Sunday, there's going to be panic.
Oh, no doubt.
Right?
No, the sky will be fun. You lose to Detroit? Oh, just wait till you and I do a show together.
Well, we will be doing a show.
Oh, I know, but I'm talking about just if they lose, like, I'm going to come on here. This mic might catch fire.
It's every day, bro.
Oh, dude, give me an itch.
It's every day, bro.
All day.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Yep, sounds good, brother.
The best of the game is next. I'll get you ready for A's baseball tomorrow. It's the A's, it's the Rays at 3:30. Have a great night, everybody.